Vijana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Vijana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Yashodanandana Vrajjanaranjana Yashodanandana Vrajjanaranjana Yashodanandana Vrajjanaranjana Yashodanandana Vrajjanaranjana Yaunatira Vanachari Yamunatiravanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Yashodanandana Vrajjanaranjana Yashodanandana Vrajjanaranjana Yashodanandana Vrajjanaranjana Yashodanandana Vrajjanaranjana Yaunatiravanachari Yaunatiravanachari Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada Nitai Gaur Haribol 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 Nitai Gaur Haribol 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 Nitai Gaur Haribol
Hare Krishna Mahamantra Ki Jai Granthraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya 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 Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam
దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదోజయం ఉదీరేత్ నష్టప్రాయేషు అభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవతీ ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికీ. We are continuing to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 9th chapter, verses 4, 5, 6 and 7 perhaps. Many don't have a purport. We'll read from verse 4. Taddeva helanam tasya ధర్మాలికం సురేశ్వరః ఆలక్ష్యథరసభీతాస్ తచ్చిర్షాణి అచిన్నదృషా తద్దేవ హేళనం తస్య ధర్మాలికం సురేశ్వరః ఆలక్ష్యథరసభీతాస్ తచ్చిర్షాణి అచిన్న దృషా తద్దేవ హేళనం తస్య ధర్మాలికం సురేశ్వరః ఆలక్ష్యతరసా భీతాస్ తచ్చిర్షాణి అచిన్న దృషా. ధర్మాలికం సురేశ్వరః ఆలక్ష్య తరసా భీతస్ తచ్చిర్షాణి అచిన్న దృషా తద్దేవ హేళనం తస్య ధర్మాలికం సురేశ్వరః ఆలక్ష్యాతరసా భీతస్ తచ్చిర్షాణి అచిన్న దృషా తద్దేవ హేళనం తస్య ధర్మాలికం సురేశ్వరః ఆలక్ష్యాతరసా భీతస్ తచ్చిర్షాణి అచిన్న దృషా తద్దేవ హేళనం తస్య ధర్మాలికం సురేశ్వరః ఆలక్ష్య తరసా భీతస్ తచ్చిర్షాణి అచిన్న దృషా. థత్ దాట్ దేవహేళనం ఆఫెన్స్ ద డెమిగాడ్స్ తస్యా ఆఫ్ హిమ్ విశ్వరూప ధర్మ ఆలికం చీటింగ్ ఇన్ రిలీజియస్ ప్రిన్సిపల్స్ ప్రిటెండింగ్ టు ద ప్రీస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ద డెమిగాడ్స్ బట్ సీక్రెట్లీ యాక్టింగ్ యాజ్ ద ప్రీస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ద డీమన్స్ ఆల్సో. Sura Ishwaraha, the king of the demigods. Alaksha, observing. Tharasa, quickly. Bhithas, Bhitaha, being afraid that the demons would gain strength by being blessed by Vishwarup. Tat, his Vishwarupas, Sirsham, heads, Achinnat, cut off, Rusha, with great anger. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Once upon a time, however, the king of heaven, Indra, understood that Vishwarupa was secretly cheating the demigods by offering oblations on behalf of the demons. He became extremely afraid of being defeated by the demons, and in great anger at Vishwarupa, he cut off Vishwarupa's 3 heads from his shoulders. Text, verse 5. I'll just chant the words in the translation.
Soma pitam tu yatta shya sira ashit kapinjalaha kalavinka shurapitam anadam yat satitirihi.
Thereafter, the head meant for drinking Soma rasa was transformed into a kapinjala, Franklin partridge. Similarly, the head meant for drinking wine was transformed into a kalavinka, sparrow. And the head meant for eating food became a tithiri, common partridge. Text 6.
Brahmahatyam anjalina jagrahayad apishwaraha sambatsarante tad agham bhutanam sa vishuddhaye bhumi ambudruma yoshidbhyas chaturdha vyabhajat dharihi.
Although Indra was so powerful that he could neutralize the sinful reactions for killing a Brahmana, he repentantly accepted the burden of these reactions with folded hands. He suffered for 1 year, and then, to purify himself, he distributed the reactions for the sinful killing among the earth, water, trees, and women. Text 7.
Bhumisturiyam jagraha khata puravarena vai irinam brahma hatyaya rupam bhumau pradishyate.
In return for King Indra's benediction that ditches in the earth would be filled automatically, the land accepted 1/4 the sinful reactions for killing a Brahmana. Because of those sinful reactions, we find many deserts on the surface of the earth, purport by Srila Prabhupada. Because deserts are manifestations of the earth's disease condition, no auspicious ritualistic ceremony can be performed in a desert. Persons destined to live in deserts are understood to be sharing the reactions for the sin of Brahmahatya, the killing of a Brahmana.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manohishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagan Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitam Sha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripasindu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Mukham Karoti Vashalam, Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinataranam.
Hare Krishna. So it's a great honor to speak in front of Kishore Kishori and Srila Prabhupada and all of you on the eve of Balaram Jayanti. So the subject matter we're discussing is the 6th canto, 9th chapter, text 4 through 7. So what's been happening so far, just a quick review. Earlier, way back, in an earlier chapter, in chapter 7, or even earlier, the progeny of Prajapati Daksha was described. And towards the end of that chapter, Shukadeva Goswami describes that at a certain time, Indra, being bereft of his spiritual master Brihaspati, having committed an offense, he will take shelter of Vishwaroop, a priest. And in the previous chapter, so then Sukadeva Goswami asks, oh, wait a minute, can you explain? So this is his inquisitiveness, Parikshit Maharaj. He asks, can you explain how Indra, how he became bereft of his spiritual master? And how he, what were the circumstances in which he accepted Vishwaroop and so on and so forth? And in the previous chapter, we heard how Indra, he offended his spiritual master, and then he lost everything, and then he approached Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma advised him to accept Vishwaroop, and then he accepts Vishwaroop, and then while he advises him to accept Vishwaroop, he also tells him that Vishwaroop will fulfill your desires to regain your kingdom, but if you can tolerate his affinity for the demons. So he warns him to be vigilant about that. And Indra, following the order of Brahma, he accepts Vishwaroop. And in the last chapter, in the chapter before, we saw how he approaches Vishwaroop. Then he puts forward, his desire, Vishwaroop. He agrees to be his purohit, or his priest. And then he gives him the Narayana Kavacha shield. So all that we have discussed last time. And then now, Vishwaroop, he's performing oblations, he's performing a yajna for Indra. But as he's performing the yajna for the Indras, so here, as is being described here, he was secretly cheating the demigods by offering oblations on behalf of the demons. So there are many things in this section of those verses, so we'll try to discuss one by one. First, let us speak about Indra. Indra, firstly, you have to understand, he is a demigod, he is the king of the demigods. He is not a pure devotee. From his actions also we can tell he is not a pure devotee. And Indra also, he reigns for a long period of time. So when we hear Indra's mistakes, this is not the first time that he has done something which is not, Vaishnava-like. So this happens to him time and time again. But we also have to understand that he lives for a long period of time. So his forgetfulness of Krishna, it happens, but it's not that it happens sort of every day. These are still rare events for Indra, for the amount of time he lives. So firstly, we should not commit any offense or like that, thinking, that Indra is also like, one of us, like that. He lives, his service extends for a long period of time. And of course, his service is such that he's in contact, with great opulences. And great opulences makes one forget Krishna. We've been hearing about the Damodar Leela. And our Acharya's comment that one can become proud because of various possessions. One can be proud of one's knowledge. One can be proud of one's beauty. One can be proud of one's wealth. And our Acharyas explain that the pride that one accrues from being, you know, opulent, wealthy, it's the most dangerous one. So Indra is the king of the heavens, is the king of the demigods. So, you know, he's very vulnerable to this. So we should not, firstly, we should not, however, he is still, you know, a Vaishnava. And as we can see, even now, he will approach Lord Vishnu when he's in trouble. He'll approach Lord Vishnu. Yeah. So that's one important thing I wanted to mention. Then here, Vishwarup also, when we, like when we're reading this section, and we also read the section earlier, so there are Brahmanas are also, are of different, you know, caliber, different levels. Like the spiritual master also, you know, there are different levels of spiritual master, right? There is, at the topmost is the Paramahamsa Vaishnava, spiritual master. So there are Vaishnavas, there are levels. So similarly, even Brahmanas, there are different, you know, adhikars or levels. So when we hear that Vishwarup had three heads, one for drinking soma rasa, another for wine, and then the other for eating food. So we should not get bewildered. Of course, in our Hare Krishna movement, Srila Prabhupada, he is training us first to be Vaishnavas. And then, so we are first a Vaishnava. Then, we might perform certain functions or duties. Based on the qualities we cultivate, we have some functions. We may perform brahminical functions, like that. So we are, firstly, we are Vaishnavas. We're trying to be Vaishnavas. So in our society, the principle, the four principles, Prabhupada, the four regulative principles, no meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling. So a Vaishnava Brahmana will not do any of these, you know, things in a Hare Krishna movement. I mean, even a beginner, he will not, you know, do these things. Prabhupada is training us like that. So we should not get bewildered when we read such things from the scriptures. One other thing is Soma Rasa. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions, Krishna refers to Soma Rasa. And it's not like an ordinary beverage, Soma Rasa. Soma Rasa is a special beverage which can negate, you know, sinful reactions. So, in this world, we cannot find such beverage. We can find beverages which will increase our sinful actions and sinful reactions, but we cannot find beverages which will negate our sinful reactions. So, Soma Rasa is that. Soma Rasa. And there is a particular procedure to obtain that also. One has to follow, you know, the prescribed means, then one can obtain Soma Rasa. But again, the Krishna consciousness movement, our acharyas have described, that we just don't want to just negate our sinful reactions. Prabhupada said that this is like, when somebody has a lawn, right? Sometimes weeds grow in the lawn or a garden. And from time to time, you know, we may mow the lawn, you know, and we may take care of the weeds, seemingly take care of the weeds. But then we see that the weeds grow again. So our acharyas describe that this chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra or this process of devotional service, it uproots from the root. From the root. You know, these desires even. Kechit kevalya bhaktya vasudeva parayana agam dhunvanti karshnena niharam iva bhaskara. This is a verse which will come later in the sixth canto. Kechit kevalya bhaktya, just unalloyed pure devotional service. Vasudeva parayana agam dhunvanti karshnena. Agam is sinful. Dhunvanti karshnena. Just like how early in the morning if there is a fog, then as soon as the sun appears, the fog immediately disappears. So similarly, when one takes up devotional service, it has the potency to not just negate sinful reactions, but even uproot the desires that lead us to sinful action. Now, Acharyas, they explain, they analyze, what is the root cause of suffering? The root cause of suffering is some sinful reaction. But then what is the root cause of sinful reaction? So there is some sinful action that somebody has committed, which, you know, comes around. But then what is the root of sinful action? The root of sinful action is improper desires. And then the root of improper desires is ignorance. So bhakti, it uproots from the root, the ignorance. As we sing in the Guru Vandana, in the Guru Vandana prayers. Prema bhakti yaha hoite avidya vinasha jate. When prema bhakti awakens, avidya vinasha jate. Ignorance is completely destroyed. So here we are not practicing Krishna consciousness in a way to get some relief from some sinful reaction that we may be destined for. But we want to not just have a patchwork or a band-aid solution, but we want to have a permanent solution with this. And the permanent solution is to re-establish our relationship with Krishna. The root of all ignorance is that we are thinking we are the body, and we are thinking that we don't have a relationship with God. So Krishna consciousness, it addresses both. It teaches us that we are not the body, we are the spirit soul. But not just that, we also have a relationship with Krishna. And it is giving us a means to re-establish that relationship, to act in that relationship. So then, when one is engaged in devotional service, then one doesn't perform, not to say vikarma, he doesn't even perform karma, right? He is engaged in akarma. He is engaged in activities that are devotional activities. Chanting and hearing, the primary devotional activities, and then even the other activities that he performs, they are also his devotional service. So he is not implicated. He is not implicated in karma, in the chain of karma. Krishna uses the word lipyate. Lipyate is a word which talks about, which means he doesn't get implicated in intricacies. The example that is given is the lotus flower. The lotus flower, although it resides in a pond, mostly they are dirty, but then the lotus flower, it remains always pure. It is not touched, you know, by the dirtiness of the pond. Or even if one pours water on the lotus flower, lotus leaf, you can see that actually nothing sticks on that. Every drop of the water will fall off. So similarly, the Vaishnava devotee, he is acting in this world. He is involving himself with things of this world, but then he is not touched by them. But who can say, so besides Vaishnavas, everybody is in the cycle of karma. Like here, like Lord Indra, he is the king of the demigods. And even he is not exempt. Like in Brahma Samhita, there is a prayer, right? From Indra to Indra Gopa, everybody is in the cycle of karma. But karma ni nirudhata kintu bhakti bhajam. But somebody who takes shelter of Krishna, bhakti, they can get out of the cycle of karma. So here Indra, what is happening is, firstly, in the earlier chapter, he somehow neglects his spiritual master, Guru Ravagya, and he gets in trouble for that. And then now, then he is recommended to accept Vishwarupa as his priest. But then again he gets in trouble. So we sometimes also get into such situations where, like a spider weaving its web, it gets caught in its own web. So similarly, our one action leads to a certain reaction. Then we start to try to take measures to counteract that. We take some other action and we get more and more, entangled. This is a nice story in this connection. There was once a fox. The fox was very, very hungry. It had not eaten for many, many days. And so somehow it comes into a village and he enters a house. And when he enters the house, he doesn't see anything there to eat. But then he sees that from the rafters there is a pot hanging. So he tries very hard somehow to reach the pot. Somehow or the other, he's jumping and he's trying to reach the pot. And somehow or the other he's able to reach the pot. And the pot comes down crashing. But luckily this is there in the Vedic culture, where they have a small bed under the pot. So it falls on the small bed basically. So it doesn't break completely. So then the fox is very hungry. So he puts his mouth inside the pot and is wondering what it is. It's like what is inside is a dough. But he's not sure whether it's edible or not edible, what to do with it. But he's very hungry. So he puts his mouth inside it. And then somehow, his whole face, it gets stuck in the pot. And he's not able to get it out, basically. And then, so he's struggling with the pot. And for the fox, the dough smell is not so exciting, basically. So he's in trouble in many, many ways, so to speak. He's stuck and then it's also not smelling so great. So he's running around the house and trying to somehow get out of this. So he somehow manages to break the pot. But then what happens is a big, lump of dough is still sort of stuck to his face. And then he's wondering what to do now. And then so he starts using his, one paw. And he starts to try to take it off with his paw. And then, now the dough is on his paw. And now then he starts using his other hand, basically. And then he tries to take the, dough out. But more and more, it so happens that he becomes completely, almost immobilized, because he's stuck, his legs and hands and everything like that. So sometimes this is what happens with us as well. We get in some situation, we're trying to find a solution, we make a plan, and then we further complicate the matter. So here, in this scene we can see, in this pastime, we can see that Indra, which happens to us as well, he's getting entangled in further and further complicated matters. Firstly, it was just, a mental offense to his spiritual master. But here, so now coming to the verse, here, once upon a time, however, the king of heaven, Indra, understood that Vishwarupa was secretly cheating the demigods by offering oblations on behalf of the demons. He became extremely afraid of being defeated by the demons And in great anger at Vishwarupa, he cut Vishwarupa's 3 heads from his shoulders. So now he's got himself implicated in Brahmahatya, you know, killing a Brahmana, which is a great offense. Like when we chant, when we circumambulate Tulsi in the morning, what do you say? Yani kani cha papani Brahmahatyadikani cha. So Tulsi Maharani, she has the potency that even if somehow one has engaged in Brahmahatya by circumambulating her, you know, one can get relief from that. You know, one can get free from that reactions. So it's a very great offense. And we also understand how much dear, you know, the Brahmanas, go Brahmana Hitayasha, they are to Govinda, Krishna. So Krishna doesn't take it very, you know, lightly. So it's a great offense. So Indra implicates himself. This, you know, great offense. But again, what has happened here? Let's try to analyze here. So there are 2 things. One is Vishwarup, as we understand, he comes from a mother. So there is Daityas, there is Aditi and Diti. So Vishwarup comes in the line of Daityas. And the demigods, they come from the line of Aditi. So they are 2 sisters actually. But then here Vishwarupa, he has affection, you know, for his clan as well, for his dynasty, members of his dynasty. So Prabhupada explains this as Swajana. There is one word called Swajana. Swajana means one's own men. One's kith and kin. So one has affection for kith and kin. So this affection, Prabhupada calls it, Queen Kunti Mahanani also calls it in 8th chapter. She calls it, you know, skin disease. Prabhupada calls it skin disease. She's praying to Krishna that I have affection for both Vrishnis and Yadus. And she's saying some of my affection for them is based on the bodily platform. Oh Krishna, only you can remove, you know, this affection based on the bodily conception of life. I don't want to lose the affection that I have for, you know, Vrishnis and Yadus. After all, they're all part and parcels of you. So we want to have affection for all living entities. But how can we have affection that is not based on the bodily conception? It's alien to us. You know? Typically, it's me and mine. My family, you know, my nation, my state, my city, you know. So it requires the intervention of a pure devotee to cut the knot of this material affection one has. But so it's not that, you know, we don't, you know, these are symptoms of life. Prabhupada writes in his purports in the same chapter. Affection, service, these are all symptoms of life. It's not that we want to get rid of them. You know, but how to properly see that in connection with Krishna? That makes all the difference. So here Vishwarupa, he has affection for, you know, for his clan. And so he wants to take care of them as well. And Indra, he, as we can see, he becomes fearful. And then he becomes angry. What is the cause of fear? There are many, many causes of fear. But in Bhagavad Gita, we can, if we refer to chapter 2, Krishna mentions, while contemplating on the objects of the senses, right? Attachment developed to that. Then from attachment, and if that attachment is there, so there is fear. We are fearful whether that attachment, that desire that we have, it will be fulfilled or it will not be fulfilled. So here Indra, like one of us, he wants to maintain his position as the king of the heavenly realm. And every time, this happens quite a bit. Every time somebody is performing, this is there in Ramayana also, one sage in the forest is performing, you know, intense austerities, and Indra, he becomes concerned. Oh, maybe he wants to take over my kingdom. So he's always, you know, in anxiety of losing what he has. So he has a desire. So then there is fear whether the desire will be fulfilled or not. Or if one has something, then there is the fear of it being taken away. So there is always fear in the realm of duality. So one develops attachment for that. And then when the desire is not fulfilled, then what happens? Then anger arises, right? And then when anger arises, what happens? Bewilderment of memory. And then one falls into the material pool. So as we were discussing earlier, so here we can clearly see, when there is fear, there is anger, and immediately Indra, he cannot tell the difference. You know, the intelligence, in a way, abandons him. And he kills, he commits a great offense, like killing a Brahmana. So, this bewilderment of memory, what does that mean, bewilderment of memory? Krishna writes in Bhagavad Gita. In simple terms, it is forgetfulness of Krishna. As I was saying again, to come back to Indra, Indra, he reigns for a long period of time, and he has opulences, such opulences that there is always a risk of forgetting Krishna. So he forgets Krishna, he forgets his spiritual master, he forgets who Vishwarup is. So they go hand in hand. Attachment to sense gratification and forgetfulness of Krishna, in a way they go hand in hand. Forgetfulness of Krishna, they go hand in hand. Now on the other hand, attachment to Krishna and remembrance of him, they go hand in hand. That's why our Acharya, one of our Acharyas explains that to try to cross the river while having one foot in one boat of sense gratification and another foot in the boat of devotional service is a fool's proposition. One will fall into the river. One will neither make it here nor there. So he encourages us to firmly plant both of one's feet in the boat of devotional service and perform devotional service. Go towards Krishna. So not have this two-pocket program. This two-pocket program will make us forget Krishna. So this is another important thing that I wanted to share. Now, continuing to read along. Thereafter, the head meant for drinking somarasa was transformed into a kapinjala. Similarly, the head meant for drinking wine was transformed into a kalavinka. And the head meant for eating food became a thittiri. Now, next one. Although Indra was so powerful that he could neutralize the sinful reactions for killing a Brahmana, he repentantly accepted the burden of these reactions with folded hands. He suffered for 1 year, and then to purify himself, he distributed the reactions for this sinful killing among the earth, water, trees, and women. So Indra was very powerful. He could negate, he could counteract. For example, in an earlier pastime, when Indra, he somehow became very, very, he was attracted to Gautama Rishi's wife, Ahilya. And he had a union with her. And so Gautama Rishi, when he came back, he cursed him. He cursed Indra that he is such a, you know, wretched person. And he is so attached to women, this is a kind of graphic, he is so attached to women that he curses him to have, you know, the female, you know, genitals all over his body. That's the curse he gives Indra, basically. So which can be quite embarrassing for Indra. So he had the power, however, so somehow what he, as we know, Indra, he is called Sahasra Aksha. Right? He has thousands of eyes on his body. So he somehow he transformed those, you know, women's private part genitals that were all over his body into eyes. Anyway, so the point I'm making here is, so he has the some capacity to do things like this. So he could have done something, he would have counteracted the reaction, but he didn't. He accepted. This is to his credit. Even earlier when he offended his spiritual master Brihaspati, immediately, so he is intelligent, he is a very qualified person. In fact, there are so many stotras and prayers glorifying Indra in our Vedic scriptures. So he's not like a small fish, ordinary person. So he has knowledge. But then, you know, because of his attachment to his position, he forgets, you know, what he knows. So our acharyas explain, again in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, so with the sword of knowledge, right, with the sword of knowledge, you cut, you know, through this lust. Lust is a sin, all-devouring sinful enemy. And Krishna says, so with the sword of knowledge, you cut this from the very beginning. But then, we may have a very powerful thing, right, the sword of knowledge. But we need strength to carry the sword. So Krishna explains, or Acharyas explain, so then one needs Bala, Balaram. So tomorrow is his appearance day. So we can pray to him so that he can give us spiritual strength, Bala. So the spiritual strength to act on the transcendental knowledge that we have received. Otherwise, it has no meaning. So we pray to Lord Balaram that, my dear Balaram, please help me to follow the instructions, the scriptures of the Guru. So then we can remain protected. So he was repentant. He was repentant like he was repentant earlier, and he suffered for one whole year. But then, again something enigmatic, I guess. He suffered for 1 year, and then to purify himself, he distributed the reactions for the sinful killing among the earth, water, trees, and women. So in return for King Indra's benediction, the ditches in the earth would be filled automatically. The land accepted 1/4 of the sinful reactions for killing a Brahmana. Because of those sinful reactions, we find many deserts on the surface of the earth. So this is kind of intriguing. But not so intriguing. In this world, we see that we are always in a bargaining. People are always bargaining. There is always austerity involved. And there is always this bargaining going on. Like our acharyas explain, for a moment of flickering happiness, in Bhajahure Mana, I have served wicked men. So here, one would wonder why would these four personalities that are described here, why would they partake in Indra's sinful reactions? And the Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us some clue that they have something lacking, like here, like, you know, Mother Earth, the Earth here is saying. In return for King Indra's benediction, so the Earth is receiving some benediction from Indra. And in return, it's saying, I'll do this for you. So there are holes. There are holes. So in all of us, there are holes. We are empty. Yeah. We're not completely full. There are some holes. And to fill those holes, what happens is sometimes we get into, you know, relationships, or we agree to certain things because we feel, oh, this will fill, this will satisfy, you know, the need that I have. The hole that is there, it will fill that hole. So we get into this awkward, obligatory, you know, situations. But a Vaishnava, as we see, a Vaishnava, he is completely free. Because he is self-satisfied, he is Atma Rama. So he is not obliged in a way, he is free like the Supreme Lord. You know, pure devotee, like Srila Prabhupada. And these Vaishnavas, they are not obliged to anyone. They never become obliged like that. Yeah. If we serve them, it's our credit. It's, you know, our blessing. Yeah. The Vaishnavas, their life, their service to Krishna goes on. So Vaishnava is full. So he doesn't get into such situations where he feels obliged. But us living entities, you know, we're looking for happiness anywhere we can find it. We get into such situations where we are ready to bargain. We cut a deal, which further implicates us, further gets us in trouble. So here, the earth, what it is asking for, that if there is a hole, we see that the tendency, the earth, it happens. If there is a hole, then it usually gets filled up, either by water or some other earth, like that, basically. You don't see like craters. And it is considered, you know, from the perspective of the earth, you know, if one has holes in one's body, it doesn't look so appealing. She is asking that for a benediction, that whenever there is a hole, it be filled up immediately. That's what she's asking for. And Indra says, sure. And then in return, she agrees to take 1/4 of the reactions. Yeah. So that's kind of intriguing. And I was wondering that. But that's what we do all the time. Now, one last point here. Because deserts are manifestations of the earth's disease condition, no auspicious ritualistic ceremonies can be performed in a desert. Persons destined to live in deserts are understood to be sharing the reactions for the sin of Brahmahatya, the killing of a Brahmana. Before the prasadam prayers, we chant some mantra, one mantra. You know that mantra? What is that? Mahaprasade Govinde, right? Some of you know. Nama Brahmani Vaishnave Svalpa Punyam Vratam Rajan Vishvasonai Vajayate. Yeah. It is mentioned, Svalpa Punyam Vratam Rajan. Oh, my dear king, in those living entities who don't even have a little bit of, you know, piety, meaning spiritual piety, bhakti, unmukhi, sukruti, if they don't have it, in them, what happens? Mahaprasada Govinde, Mahaprasade Govinde, Nama Brahmana Vaishnave, Swarpapunam Ratham Rajan, Vishwasune Vajayate, Vishwasa, Na Jayate, Vishwasa means faith, right? Jayate means born. What happens in those persons that have not even an iota of spiritual piety, in them the faith on Mahaprasada, Krishna, holy name, Vaishnavas, Brahmanas, it doesn't take root. It doesn't take root. Yeah? So, Prabhupada also compared this Hare Krishna movement like to be an oasis. He compared this material world to a desert. Actually, the material world is a desert. Even, you know, the desert is a desert, and, you know, fully flourishing green fields is also a desert. Without Krishna in the picture, it's vacant. Like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in Govind, in Shikshashtakam, right? Govinda virahena me yugayatam nimishena. Moments of separation feels like 12 years without Govinda. So this whole material world is like a desert. If one doesn't have Vaishnava Sangha, if one doesn't have devotional service, then it's like a desert. On the other hand, if one takes shelter of devotional service, it's like an oasis in this desert. So here, being bereft of Vaishnava Sangha, her heart continues to remain like a dry oil cake. And this is what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed with Sarvam Bhattacharya, in the beginning, Gopinath Acharya, he was his brother-in-law, he told Sarvam Bhattacharya, the Supreme Lord is staying in your own house, but you are not able to understand that. Because of your high learning and knowledge, you know, your heart has become like a dry oil cake. And you can't see the Supreme Lord, you can't understand the Supreme Lord. So this desert-like condition is there. Without Krishna consciousness, or we can feel it also actually. When we are acting, you know, vibrantly in our Krishna consciousness, we can feel, you know, completely different. And somehow when we are struggling in our practices for whatever is the reason, we can feel the burning in the heart like a desert. So we can pray, just tomorrow is Balaram's Jayanti, so we can pray that we can receive this gift that Srila Prabhupada has come to give, Lord Chaitanya has come to give, you know, and make our heart, you know, make it fertile. In a fertile land, you know, things can be easily, you know, sown and they'll grow. But in a desert, not much grows. So we can pray that our heart be like a fertile land where things can flourish instead of a desert. Okay. So we will pause here and see if there is any comments or questions or discussion. Yes, Prabhu. Thank you. Say that again.
How fear can turn into anger. I was wondering if you can expand on that.
Well, it's not that they turn into anger, but Srimad Bhagavad Gita mentions from attachment, right? Unfulfilled attachment leads to anger. But we can see how fear turns into anger. In some instances, what happens is, why does somebody raise their voice? Do you have any idea? Why does somebody raise their voice in material situations? Why do they raise their voice?
To get their attention?
Huh?
To get their attention?
Yeah, to get the attention, but actually it is the opposite. They are raising their voice because they are feeling that they are losing power. They are feeling weaker. So to feel, you know, more powerful, or more, you know, more powerful than they actually are, they raise their voice, so they become angry. I mean, we see it quite often with children and parents, or, you know, like a superior, and, you know, somebody who is they're looking up to. So actually they are seeing that their child is somehow bigger than them, but then they have a bigger body, So they try to raise their voice and try to assert their superiority over them. So there is fear of losing control. And so they counteract it, they will become angry. That's one. There are many other examples can be given. Anyway, you're saying something.
So can you say that's how passion turns into ignorance?
Say that again?
Is fear in the mode of passion?
Yeah. Yeah. Fear and anger, they go hand in hand. And also we were sharing how fear, when we have some desire, right? And we get a sense that it may not be fulfilled, right? So it's quite rare. Then when we have a sense that it is not going to be fulfilled, then typically it's not that we take responsibility. Oh, it's because of me that this is not going to be fulfilled. You follow? So typically then the next thing is we start looking outwards. Who is the cause of this that is causing my desire to not be fulfilled? So our attention turns outwards. Like Indra, for example. You know, when Nanda Maharaj, he wanted to perform the Indra Yajna, and Krishna, he stopped it. He says, it's not required. So he held Krishna responsible for his Indra Yajna being stopped. And so his anger, his wrath turned on Krishna. So we see that somebody is checking. So anybody who checks our desire, so to speak, they will be the object of our, anger. Like here, Vishwaroop. So Indra, he covets his kingdom. And he feels that Vishwaroop is actually helping the demons to gain his kingdom. So Vishwaroop is an object, So he causes, in a way, Vishwaroop action, it seems that it causes fear for Indra. But the fear is actually already there in his heart. So these things are internally there. These triggers, there are triggers of it. But they are not the actual cause of it. But he holds Vishwaroop responsible for the fear that he feels. And then he kills him. Anything else? Yeah.
About the whole three modes of material nature.
Yeah.
Is there any way goodness can go to ignorance?
Is
there any way goodness can go to ignorance, skipping over passion? Can goodness go straight to ignorance, or has to go through passion and then to ignorance? Is it like steps down, or you can jump from the third step to the lowest step?
Well, the modes of material nature are very, very intricate. Prabhupada explains that there is always, have you seen this Bhagavad Gita, there is a nice painting also in our Bhagavad Gita. There are three puppeteers. Right? They're pulling the strings, basically. And Prabhupada explains that any time, so there is always this competition going on between the three modes of material nature to assert their superiority. So any time, somebody can take over that, basically. Yeah. So it can be a gradual fall down. It could be, one could even skip, basically. Typically it is gradual. Well, for example, when we are working on a staircase, one could roll, one could step, fall down, step by step, or one could fall, Anything else? Okay, thank you all for your time. Oh, you have a question? Yeah.
Govinda fully.
Mahaprasade Govinda?
Yes, like the full meaning of that.
Yeah. Mahaprasade Govinde Nama Brahmani Vaishnave Svalpa. Svalpa means Svalpam api asya dharmasya. Svalpa punyam vratam rajan Vishvaso nahi vajayate. So this verse is saying that one who doesn't have even swalpa, a little bit of spiritual piety, in them the faith in Mahaprasada, holy name, Govinda, the deity, or Govinda Krishna, Brahmana, Vaishnava, it will not take root. Not take root. So, what does spiritual piety mean? So there are different kinds of pieties. There is bhoga unmukhi sukruti, as they say. Bhoga unmukhi sukruti, bhukti unmukhi sukruti, and mukti unmukhi sukruti, and bhakti unmukhi sukruti. So bhoga unmukhi sukruti is material piety, is like in the Vedic scriptures it is mentioned. So of course vikarma is out of the question, but one performs pious activities which are there in the Vedic scriptures, you know, like digging of wells, opening hospitals, so social welfare, so to speak, you know, that according to the theistic conduct, the rules of dharma, then one accrues material piety. And then on the strength of that material piety, one gets an upgrade in the realms, in the material realm. One may ascend to the higher planetary systems, to the heavenly realm. One may live there for a long time. Or one may stay in this realm also, but one gets an upgrade in terms of Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta and Shri. One gets an upgrade. Then there is Mukti Unmukhi Sukriti. There are certain, you know, like cultivation of knowledge, jnana. Then one accrues piety to attain liberation. And there is bhakti unmukhi sukruti. Activities which are connected to to devotional service, bhakti, that piety. And that is very simple to accrue actually. It's not so complicated. Krishna is very, very merciful. Like Jagannath Rath Yatra. If anybody even just pulls, you know, Rath Yatra cart, he accrues some bhakti unmukhi sukruti. If anybody, you know, we are going on street sankirtan, agar sankirtan, if somebody just appreciates, or even, you know, in parihasa, in helana, he even derisively chants the holy name, he gets some sukriti. If somebody accepts, you know, somebody offers a, you know, a rose or a flower or something to Vaishnava, some service to Vaishnava, you know, somebody shows them some direction, you know, you ask, let's say you are, you know, you're lost somewhere in downtown, and you ask somebody for directions, they do some service for a Vaishnava. So that is bhakti unmukhi sukriti. So it is saying, so it's very easy to accrue bhakti unmukhi sukriti. I mean, easy meaning, I mean, that's why Vaishnavas, they are circumambulating. They are traveling all around the globe to actually give opportunity to people that they can accrue some bhakti unmukhi sukriti, so that their devotional service can begin. There are many stories of Prabhupada. One time Prabhupada was on a morning walk, and he was by an ocean front, and there was this old lady. You know, she came, she looked at Prabhupada and all his disciples, so she was very, you know, touched. And then somehow there was a small garden, and then she was inspired from within. She plucked a flower, and then she offered to Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada said to his disciples, her devotional service has begun. So simple things, one can accrue spiritual piety, bhakti piety. So when one accrues in them, you know, the faith, adav shraddha, right? Adav shraddha, sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, anartha nivritti. So the shraddha takes root. Otherwise, you know, one doesn't, what is this holy name? What is this, you know, deity form of the Lord? This is prasadam. Why do you offer, you know, food? They will, you know, question each and everything actually. They will be faithless. Yeah. Yes, Prabhu.
In the last section, Mother Earth accepted the sinful reaction from Indra. So my question is, if we are taking some benediction, some type of favor from somebody, are we automatically entitled for their sinful reaction? Or if we accept, then only we are entitled for their sinful reaction.
See that again.
So, in the last verse,
I got that.
She accepted herself that, okay, I will take 1/4 of your sinful reaction. In our day-to-day life, if we are taking favor or some type of favor from somebody and they have their sinful reactions, so are we automatically entitled for their sinful reaction? Or if we accept, then only we are entitled for their sinful reaction?
Well, I'll answer your question this way. The scriptures mention that if somebody has dependents, right? If somebody has a dependent, like a king, praja it is called, all the inhabitants in his kingdom, his piety is distributed to the citizens, right? And the citizens, vice versa, it goes both ways. So similarly in the family members also, the family members, if I have family, then I partake, you know, that. So now your question is, you're interacting with somebody, you take some favor.
Today life, we take favor from some person as a help, sometimes monetary help, sometimes social help, sometimes some help. So in that case, are we entitled for their sinful reaction also if we take some type of benefit from other people?
I'll tell you a Prabhupada story. So one time, Srila Prabhupada, he was offered, you know, tons of money by somebody. And Prabhupada knew that the source of the money was not, you know, sort of theistic. It was illegitimate. You follow what I'm saying? So now, Srila Prabhupada had a choice. He could say, no, I can't. I cannot do this, basically. Because as you said, you know, if he receives, then if he partakes, he becomes obliged. So then Srila Prabhupada, what he did was, he told his personal servants directly that this money that is coming, it should be directly engaged in the service of the deity. Meaning, Prabhupada also didn't want to sort of touch it, so to speak. Krishna, he said, Krishna has the potency. He said, Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam charanam vraja, aham tum sarvapapebhyo. Krishna can take it, but I cannot. So we have to have a sense of it. Anyway, that's the story. So you still have your hand raised. I didn't directly answer your question. Yeah. So we have a follow-up. So we should in a way, but this is the risk of preaching. Prabhupada says preaching is also a risk. Many times Prabhupada said, right, like the spiritual master, he accepts disciples. So at the time of diksha kale, bhakta kare, atma samarpan, the spiritual master, he receives, you know, the sinful reactions of the disciple. But of course, on behalf of Krishna, he's accepting it. But then Prabhupada himself said, I'm expecting too many unqualified personalities like that. So one should be careful. One should understand one's capacity, adhikar, and then accordingly, you know, engage, you know, others basically like that. Okay? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.